Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Today, we're digging into a really stark clinical paradox, something that's been a puzzle in global health for decades now. We're talking about children born to women living with HIV. You might hear them called CHEU, which stands for HIV-exposed uninfected children.
Yeah, and on the surface, it sounds like a success story, right? We have amazing antiretroviral therapy, ART, that drastically cuts down mother-to-child transmission. Mm-hmm. So these infants, they're born uninfected. That's fantastic news.
But this is the really tough part. These children, especially in low-income areas, still face mortality rates that are 2 to 3 times higher than kids born to mothers without HIV. That's a huge jump. More hospital visits, more deaths, often from things like pneumonia or diarrhea infections that should be manageable.
Exactly. So the big question becomes, if the virus isn't getting through, what is? What's causing this ongoing vulnerability in these uninfected kids? It really points towards something systemic, doesn't it? Like the mother's chronic infection is somehow pre-programming the child for poor outcomes, even if her virus is suppressed.
And this deep dive today, it points to something fundamental, something happening within, well, the first and most critical source of nutrition and immune programming, human breast milk. The research suggests a really profound change, a depletion of a vital nutrient right there in the milk itself.
It's fascinating, and this insight really comes from some incredible work. We should definitely acknowledge the team behind it. People like Nicole H. Tobin, Fan Lee, Wentao Zhu, Kathy Furbus, John Sleesman, Daniel Raftery, Louise Kuhn, and Grace Aldrovandi.
Right, representing major institutions, UCLA, Duke, Columbia.
Yeah, their work has really pushed forward our understanding of how chronic maternal infection can actually change the metabolic makeup of breast milk.
Okay, so to get into the how, we need to look at the mother's immune system first, right? Even with ART suppressing the virus.
Exactly. Even with suppressed viral loads, women living with HIV often exist in this state of like chronic low-level inflammation that's like their body's antiviral alarm is just stuck in the on position.
A constant state of alert.
Pretty much. You see activated immune cells, higher levels of these things called interferon-inducible cytokines, basically, the chemical messengers shouting inflammation. And it's systemic. It's body-wide.
And crucially, that inflammatory state in the mother seems to be mirrored in the CHEU infants themselves. It affects their immune function, their development.
Mm-hmm. But the researchers here didn't just look at the immune cells. They asked what's driving this from a metabolic standpoint.
Okay.
And the spotlight falls on a specific pathway, the indole amine 2-phala-3 deoxygenase pathway, or IDEO for short.
IDEO. And this involves tryptophan.
Yes, tryptophan or tryptase. It's an essential amino acid. That means we can't make it. Babies have to get it from their diet, primarily mom's milk early on.
And it's vital for, well, lots of things.
Oh, yeah. Immune regulation, keeping the gut healthy, and critically, it's the precursor for serotonin. You know, the neurotransmitter involved in mood, sleep, and brain development. Super important.
Okay, so tryptophan is this essential building block. What happens to it when the mother has this chronic HIV-related inflammation?
That inflammation kicks the IDEO pathway into high gear. Think of the IDEO enzyme as being really hungry for tryptophan when it's activated. It starts breaking down or catabolizing tryptophan much faster than usual. So instead of being used for making serotonin or for growth,
it gets diverted, eaten up by this pathway.
Exactly. It gets turned into other things, metabolites down the kynurenine pathway.
And you can measure this breakdown.
You can. There's a key biomarker, the ratio of kynurenine to tryptophan, the KT ratio.
The KT ratio. Okay.
When that KT ratio is high, it's a clear sign that IDEO was overactive, chewing through tryptophan. And high KT ratios are already linked to bad stuff, HIV progression, even dementia, and importantly here, stunting in children.
Ah, okay. So the hypothesis was that this constant IDEO activity in the mother was basically draining the tryptophan from her system and therefore from her breast milk.
Precisely. Depleting the nutritional quality before it even gets to the baby.
So proving this was happening in breast milk consistently over time, that sounds like a challenge. How did they tackle it?
They did something pretty remarkable, a huge study using global metabolomics. They analyzed 1,426 human milk samples.
Wow, over 1,400.
Yeah, and not just a single snapshot. These were longitudinal samples collected over 18 months after birth, so they could track changes over the whole period of breastfeeding.
And the group they studied, the cohort, was particularly informative, wasn't it?
Definitely. The samples came from the Zambia Exclusive Breastfeeding Study, or ZEBS. Hundreds of women, some living with HIV, some without. And crucially, this was mostly before today's standard RT regimens were routine.
So the effect of the HIV infection itself would be clearer, less masked by drugs.
Exactly. It allowed them to capture a really strong disease signature. The mothers often had more active disease, higher inflammation, making the metabolic differences stand out more clearly.
Makes sense. And the analysis itself, how did they pinpoint the persistent changes?
They used some sophisticated stats, linear mixed device regression.
Right.
This let them identify metabolites that weren't just different at one point, but were consistently altered across that entire 18-month lactation period. Filtering out the noise, basically.
Right, finding the stable signal.
Mm-hmm. And then, importantly, they validated their findings. They did targeted checks, measuring tryptophan and cadherinane very precisely in both milk and the mother's blood plasma.
And they didn't just rely on the Zambian cohort.
Nope. They checked if the findings held up in a different group, a cohort from Haiti, where the mothers were generally healthier and were receiving modern RT.
And did they?
They did. The patterns were consistent, which really strengthens the conclusions. It suggests this isn't just an artifact of severe untreated disease.
Okay, so let's get to the findings. What was this persistent metabolic signature they found in the milk?
They found a core set of metabolites that were consistently off-kilter in the milk from women living with HIV. Four main ones stood out, but tryptophan. Tryptophan was the big one.
How big a difference are we talking?
Really significant. Tryptophan levels were consistently lower in the milk from mothers with HIV compared to the control group, right across lactation. Get this. At the four-month mark, for example, the milk from women with HIV had nearly 40% less tryptophan.
40%? That's a huge deficit of an essential nutrient.
It really is. And it wasn't random. Remember that IDO marker, the KT ratio?
Yeah, the kynurenine to tryptophan ratio.
It was significantly elevated in the milk from women with HIV at every single study visit.
Wow. So that confirms the accelerated breakdown was happening constantly. The IDO pathway was always on.
Yep. Systemic persistent tryptophan catabolism.
Okay, but where was the depletion starting? Was it something wrong with the breast tissue itself, like it couldn't secrete tryptophan properly? Or was the problem earlier in the mother's overall system?
That was the next crucial question. And the data gave a really clear answer. They found that the lower tryptophan in the milk directly mirrored lower tryptophan levels in the mother's own blood plasma.
So the moms just had less tryptophan circulating in their bodies overall.
Exactly. But here's the key piece. They looked at the transfer efficiency, how well tryptophan moved from the mother's plasma into her milk.
Uh-huh.
And there was no significant difference in that transfer rate between the groups.
So the breast isn't the problem. It's doing its job transferring what's available.
Right. The breast tissue is working fine. The problem is systemic. The mother's chronic inflammation and that overactive IDO pathway are depleting her entire body's supply of tryptophan.
And because milk is made from plasma components,
that systemic deficit gets passed directly into the milk. The mother's immune response is effectively consuming the nutrient before it can get to the baby.
That's quite a finding. And they also figured out one of those other altered compounds, right? The unknown one.
They did, the X1227. It turned out to be something called 3-deoxy-3.4-fodidehydrocytidine. Bit of a mouthful.
Definitely. What does finding that chemical tell us?
We can call it DDHC. Finding elevated levels of DDHC, along with another compound, cytosine, is basically chemical confirmation of the inflammatory state. DDHC is produced by a protein called viperin as part of the innate antiviral response, specifically the type I interferon response.
So its presence confirms that the mother's antiviral alarm system, that interferon response, is indeed chronically activated, even during lactation.
Precisely. It all ties together.
So let's pull it all together then. The whole picture. You've got depleted tryptophan in the milk.
Uh-huh.
You've got the high KT ratio showing that tryptophan is being broken down faster.
Right. The IDO pathway working overtime.
And you've got this DDHC chemical confirming the chronic antiviral inflammatory state.
Yep. It all points to one unifying mechanism. The chronic inflammation from HIV triggers this type I interferon response, which ramps up IDO activity, which eats up the mother's tryptophan systemically.
Leading to less tryptophan in the breast milk for the baby.
That seems to be the story the metabolites are telling.
Okay. So the immediate next question is obvious. What does this mean for the infants receiving this tryptophan depleted milk?
Well, the implications are potentially huge and worrying. Tryptophan deficiency isn't trivial.
It's essential for growth, you said.
It is. It's often a limiting amino acid for growth.
Yeah.
So lower levels could directly contribute to the stunting that's sadly common in these CHEU populations.
And beyond physical growth, the brain development aspect, serotonin.
Yeah, exactly. If you consistently have less of the precursor, tryptophan, what does that mean for serotonin levels in the developing brain? It raises serious concerns about potential impacts on neuronal function, maybe mood regulation long-term, cognitive development.
That's concerning.
It is. And there's another layer. When tryptophan gets shunted down that IDO pathway excessively, some of the downstream metabolites can actually be harmful.
Harmful? Like how?
Well, the balance can shift. You might get an increase in potentially neurotoxic compounds like quinolinic acid, and maybe a decrease in neuroprotective ones like kynurenic acid. This altered metabolic environment could contribute to the neurocognitive issues sometimes seen in CHEU kids later on.
So this research seems to provide a specific, measurable target, this whole tryptophan-kynurenine-IDO axis, that could potentially explain a lot of the immune problems and maybe even the neurodevelopmental issues we see globally in these children.
Yeah, it certainly provides a strong candidate mechanism, yeah. A concrete metabolic link.
Which brings us to the big clinical question. If we know these infants are getting less tryptophan, should we give them more? Should tryptophan supplementation be considered for CHEU infants?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the answer is, we need to be extremely careful.
Why careful? Well, if they're deficient, wouldn't more be better?
Not necessarily. Remember, while these metabolic changes in milk are clear, even the RT-treated group, we're still mostly inferring the direct impact on the infant's metabolism. We haven't directly measured all these metabolites in the babies themselves in large studies yet.
Okay, so there's an inferential leap.
Right. And there's a major potential pitfall with just adding more tryptophan.
Which is?
Well, previous research suggests that CHEU infants also often have signs of inflammation and immune activation. Their own IDO pathways might already be somewhat ramped up.
So if you just pour more tryptophan fuel onto that fire.
Exactly. Instead of making more serotonin or supporting growth, you might just force more tryptophan down that same problematic IDO pathway in the infant.
Potentially increasing those harmful neurotoxic metabolites you mentioned.
That's the risk. You could inadvertently make things worse, metabolically speaking, in a child who's already in a vulnerable inflammatory state.
So simple replacement might not be the answer, or at least not the whole answer.
Probably not. Future studies really need to look at this carefully. We need research in large groups where moms are on universal ARTH. And crucially, we need to measure these metabolites in the infants alongside any intervention trials.
The goal isn't just boosting tryptophan levels, but maybe finding ways to normalize that whole metabolic pathway. Perhaps dampen the inflammation first.
That seems like a more holistic and likely safer long-term strategy. This research really shifts the focus, doesn't it? It's not just about controlling the virus in the mother anymore.
It's about understanding and mitigating the lasting metabolic echoes of that chronic inflammation, even after the virus is suppressed.
Precisely. The downstream consequences for the infant via breast milk composition.
Okay, so wrapping this up, the take-home message seems pretty stark.
I think so. Chronic maternal HIV infection leaves a clear, persistent metabolic scar on breast milk specifically, this significant depletion of essential tryptophan.
Driven by the mother's own inflammatory response, constantly breaking it down via the IDO pathway.
Right. And this discovery gives us that missing piece, potentially a specific metabolic mechanism, the kynurenine tryptophan axis, that could link maternal infection to the higher rates of illness, mortality, and maybe even neurocognitive issues seen in these uninfected children.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? What does it mean for public health policy when breastfeeding, which we know is absolutely vital for infant survival, especially in resource-limited settings, might also be delivering this key nutrient deficiency alongside inflammatory signals to some of the most vulnerable babies?
That's the complex challenge this work brings to the forefront. How do we balance the immense benefits of breastfeeding with mitigating this newly understood metabolic risk?
A crucial question indeed. Lots to consider there. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.